more formal one. Please pick that up. A couple other announcements. Just curious, how many took my challenge to read through the Bible in 1 year? How many are doing that, progressing along? Well, that's great. It's still not too late. I got on the website and I looked, and there is a 1 month Bible reading plan. You can read the Bible in 1 month. It takes about 2.5 hours a day, but that's a whole lot less than football game or any other television show. So if you want to do it, in fact, I'll take you to 2 lunches if you do that. But anyway, and if you think I'm shamelessly bribing you to read the word, I am, for nothing will change your life more. Also, it's in the bulletin, but the pastor here of the church that meets, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, they are having a gospel concert that they wanted to, in particular, invite our congregation to. I got online and listened to them. It's for men. It's all gospel music that's done a cappella, just vocals. And it was very beautiful. And I'll leave this flyer out in the back, and it has a QR code if you would like to get more information. But that is in the bulletin. I'll draw your attention to it. It's the 16th. At 6 p.m. Next week we have our annual congregational meeting, and then after the meeting we will have, which is normally fairly brief, we are going to have an authentic Belgium waffle lunch that Werner from Belgium will be producing for us. And he says we don't need to do anything but show up and enjoy. So we invite you to that. Any other announcements? Let's go to prayers. It's been a full week, and much prayers have gone up. Besides being Thanksgiving week, there have been 4 unexpected deaths that have touched our congregation in one way or the other. Yesterday, we officiated at the ceremony for Terrell Salmon. We've been praying for Terrell for many years. He was 51. Some of you may remember that about in 17, he fell going to work and hit just correctly, and he was paralyzed. Well, he died on the last Sunday evening of his service. So let's keep Terrell's family in our prayers. Also, last Sunday, Danny Miller. He was 64 years old, worked at B&W or BWXT, and friend of Werner. He passed away. His service will be today here at 2 o'clock. So keep Danny Miller's family in our prayers. Also, just last Friday night, another friend of Werner's, and many of you heard about it, he died on Timberlake Road, Matthew Burns. We want to keep his family in our prayers. I don't know how old Matthew was. A younger guy? Okay.
Early 50s, I think.
Early 50s.
Tom.
Yes, ma'am.
I just need to say something about the second hymn. You went any other questions and went right on, so I didn't get to say something.
Okay.
The second hymn has a second ending that we're not going to do. So there are 2 pages, so we're going to sing this page, and we go right up to here, and we're going to go back and sing the second verse. And then at the end of this, it's telling us to go back over here to the special sign, but we're just going to end with, "Here I am to worship." So mainly this page here goes into a bridge that I don't think we need to do. Thank you. Sorry.
And going back to the prayer request, we want to keep the family of Donna Langford in our prayers. Donna, Tuesday, woke up and was having a good day. But growing up, I lived across the street from an assistant police chief, and he always used to say, you put your boots on in the morning, you don't know who's going to take them off at the end of the day. We're all shocked and saddened, and our hearts are broken over the loss of Donna. And Tom, you've been in our prayers and all the family. So keep that in our prayers. She will be having three services. She'll have a service up in the valley next Saturday that I will officiate with Steve Arrington. We have met Steve Arrington. He worked with Donna at Liberty. And then you may remember he was our missionary that we supported in Israel until the pandemic. And then he and his family came home, and he's an associate pastor in the valley. And so we will be doing a service at 12 o'clock next Saturday up somewhere in around Verona or somewhere. I don't know the church. Tom,
it was, I think it's White Hill Church in Stewart's Drive.
In Stewart's Drive. If you're interested in attending that one next Saturday, let me know and I'll get you the details. We are also having a service at the beach. It'll be at a later time. And the service for Lynchburg will be here next Sunday at 3 o'clock. So just come like they used to do in the olden days, and it's, recognize it's the Lord's Day, and we'll have worship, and then we'll have a short meeting, and then we'll have waffles, and we'll be here for the service. So her service will be 3 o'clock next Sunday. We also want to continue to keep those that have had surgeries in our prayers. Wayne Williams was in the hospital this week. He is home and doing much better. So keep Wayne in your prayers. Tasha Wright went to the hospital today with pneumonia, Robert's wife. So we'll keep Tasha in your prayers. And also adopted family of Roberts, and most of us have met him, the Hamiltons. Philip went into the hospital this past week with congestive heart failure, so let's keep Philip in our prayers. And then the final one I have, and I just beg of you to keep this in prayer, tomorrow morning at 7:30, Glenn Harvey will be having a procedure done at Duke Medical Center. So we'll either go down today or I'll drive down tomorrow to be with Ruth during that procedure, but keep Glenn in our prayers. That's a long list, but our God is a very attentive God. I also want to give some praises, and then I'll be quiet and hear, entertain what you have. It's good to see all those that we see around the holidays that come and visit, and they're always good to have you with us. And it's really good to see, not only to have him here, but he's been someone we've prayed about, and he's a walking miracle. And that's Duval McDaniel, who we've been praying. We remember, we didn't know if he was going to be able to walk. And he came in today and walked just fine, looked like to me. So it's good to have you here, Duval. And any prayer requests, praises that any of you might have? Yes, Webb.
Keep Colin in your prayer. On Wednesday, he goes into the crucible. 54 hours of hell. And he comes out on the other side. He's going to be in the United States where.
So that's Wednesday. And how long did you say it was?
It's 54 hours. It should be sometime 6 a.m. Saturday morning. If he makes it through, he'll go to the sacred grounds of the Iwo Jima parade grounds. Forming a big circle, and the senior drill instructor comes around and gives everyone their pen, and at that time they are officially became the United States Marine.
Let's keep, I know all of the Griffins are proud, so let's keep calling in our prayers. Thank you, brother. Yes, sir, Andy.
Yeah, keep my son John in your prayers. He's being deployed to the Florida coast for migrant operations for the missed holidays.
Let's keep John in prayers as he goes to Florida. Anyone else? Prayers or praise items? We could use a good praise or two. Yes, sir.
Always Helen, of course.
Right.
praise Judy's doing well.
She's
hurting a little bit, but that's natural, and she's healing good.
Okay. Good. Yes, sir.
Keep Gail in our prayers. She has a procedure tomorrow at the hearing.
I hope it'll alleviate pain. So let's keep Gail in our prayers tomorrow.
We gotta get back on the football field.
Are we glad football doesn't come into the worship service. I had to do that funeral yesterday, and the whole time, Tara was big into football, and in particular that team up in Pittsburgh, and his funeral spray was a Pittsburgh Steelers funeral spray with the helmet and everything, and it just happened to fall off when it was walking out, but there's always comic relief, even in the most serious of times. Any other prayers or praises? Let's go. Our gracious Lord, as your children, we hunger, as all children do, when we have a problem, when we are hurt, when we are frightened, when we are sad, when we are disappointed, when we are angry, when we are confused. We want to go to Mom. We want to go to Dad. We want to go and just know that we're going to be heard. Far more than any solace or help that any human source can provide, we come to you in prayer, kneeling in complete dependency, knowing that you are the absolute sovereign and compassionate God that orders the universe. So often, most of the time, far beyond our understanding, but that's where trust and faith comes in. We come to you sometimes only able to mention a name or a situation, not knowing how to pray or how we're feeling, but we come to you just as we are, knowing that you never break a bruised reed. Your compassion and tenderness receives us and hears us, and we are strengthened by the absolute assurance of knowing that you attend to all things, even those things we forget to pray about. You attend to all things out of the wisdom of your goodness. So we trust you. In this past week, we have seen unexpected deaths. And we just lift them up, the families up. We thank you that each were people of faith, that their faith held strong. And as we know from that first question and answer, the Heidelberg Catechism, our only hope in life and death is that we are not our own, but we have been bought with a price. We are yours. And we are grateful that you have given us the knowledge of knowing that these have gone to glory. Well, we do pray for the Langford family and for the Salmon family, for the Miller family, for the Burns family, and for others that we're not aware of. We pray that you will continue to be with those in different stages of health need. We thank you for the good work that you're doing with Helen, and may that continue, and with Judy. We pray that you'd be with Gail tomorrow as she has the shot that will bring some relief of the pain. We pray that you would be with Glenn as he goes for his procedure tomorrow, that it would go well. Comfort Glenn, comfort Ruth. May they feel and know your presence in a very real way. We thank you for having Duval here with us today. Many prayers have gone, and you utilizing the skill and the knowledge and the procedures that you've gifted men and women to have, you have overseen that process and brought him to a place where he's able to enjoy life fully once again. We pray also that you would be with the two that serve our country. We pray that you'd be with Colin as he begins the crucible this Wednesday, that that will go well, that he will endure and persist And then he will come out on the other side of U.S. United States Marine. We thank you for John and his service. We pray that you will give him safety, encourage him in a difficult work in Florida, and give him safety and travel to and from. We just thank you again for this opportunity to begin a new church year where we've tracked along one who, in all ways like us, understands the difficulties of life. We're going to walk alongside this liturgical year with one who is totally sympathetic to everything we go through. He understands. So we thank you for that. We pray that you be with our worship service today. May all that we do be to your glory and to our benefit through the risen Christ who's promised to meet us here. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. If you'll join with me on the front of the bulletin, we gather in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the living Spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Amen.
If you'll look with me, we'll use Psalm 122. Call each to worship, and then before the first hymn, we will see and experience together the lighting of the first Advent candle. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord."
Now I mean our standing within your gates, O Jerusalem.
Jerusalem is built as a city that is at unity with itself.
To which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, the assembly of Israel, to praise the name of the Lord.
For they are the thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you.
Peace be within your walls and quietness within your towers.
For my brethren and companions' sake, I pray for your prosperity.
Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek to do you good.
Our readings for the first Sunday in Advent come from Isaiah 2, verses 1 through 5, and Psalm 122, the first verse of which says, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'"
We are glad, whether we drove in or climbed up, whether we logged on or tuned in. We are glad to be here in this community with this family. It is a place of joyful hope, of radical welcome. It is a place where together we can wait in wondrous anticipation of the kingdom to come.
Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the Lord God of Jacob, that God may teach us God's ways, and that we may walk in God's paths."
We light this candle as a sign of our hope, our joyous hope that we can be restored, our faith restored, our strength restored, our confidence restored, our joy restored as we watch and wait with all God's people for the promise to be fulfilled.
Teach us his ways, that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall decide disputes for many peoples. And they shall beat up their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord.
Thank you.
protection, we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sin and saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, one who has made us your children. And as your children, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Second reading is from Romans chapter 13. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment, are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires.
Him alone. gospel reading is Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 44. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in part, in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated. Worship is not a spectator sport. Unlike the tradition that seems to rule the day in churches across our country, where the lights go out and you just sort of focus on one person leading the show. In Scripture, Old and New, that's not what worship is about. It's not something where you come and watch somebody perform. Worship is a congregational activity, so we foster that with responsive readings and having different people read. And in particular, I have needs for those who want to move from being a spectator to a participant in the next three Advent readings. So if you'd like to read, let me know. Also, we are a visual. Our worship is to be sensual in the sense that it involves all five senses. And it's not just something we come and listen to a great singer or speaker. We participate by our taste and our touch and our hearing and our sight. That's why you may notice that our pyramids went from white of last week's Christ the King to the Advent. The Advent color is purple. You know why purple? Purple is the color of royalty. And I'm very appreciative that you have seen from the pulpit different pyramids that Jamie Wetzel has made, and we see a new purple one that she has made. So thank you. And we participate together. So I would invite you to join with me as we go to prayer. Now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we ask that your blessings be upon us, that peace and grace, truth, will be present. We would see Jesus and him alone. We ask this in his name. Amen. My brother's closest friend was buried yesterday, Terrell Salmon. They were both over-the-top, unfiltered jokesters. And I can still hear how they greeted each other, and I will not seek to imitate it because my brother got all the silliness and cuteness in the family. I don't do that. But they greeted each other every time they met with a very loud and overemphasized Cuban accent saying, "Lucy, I'm home." And you can just figure how they said it. I guess he must have cried out that way. Some announcements are memorable. When the Queen enters into a room, or when a bride walks down an aisle, or when Ed McMahon would say every night, "Here's Johnny." Some announcements we never forget. And Advent begins with announcing to us that he is here. It's the fullness of time, Paul talks about in Galatians 4. We see it in what we read, or what Barry read for us in Romans 13. The hour has come. in the Matthew's Gospel. We heard that the predicted coming of the Son of Man was here, that our Lord is coming. And Advent is all about the anticipation of the coming of Christ. We'll be looking at the Gospel of Isaiah, and I use that terminology intentionally, for it is truly a gospel, the telling of the good news. We'll be looking at the Gospel of Isaiah through our march this Advent. And in Isaiah 2, if you look there, and as you heard it read, he comes, but he comes with a shout on a mountain. Two things that I want to point out about Isaiah, what he wrote. The first thing that seems somewhat odd, Isaiah says in verse 1 of chapter 2, is that the word that Isaiah saw. Now that's not the verb you would think that would follow word. We mostly would say that it's a word that we hear. But Isaiah said it was the word that I saw. That's reminiscent of what John the Revelator says in the 12th verse of chapter 1 of the book of Revelation, that he heard a word and he turned to see the word. While that doesn't seem to grammatically fit to use the word see when it talks about something that we consider auditory, for us as believers knowing somewhat of the gospel message, it makes total sense, doesn't it? Because we know that Jesus Christ was that eternal word who was made flesh for us. So when we talk about a word, it's far more than something we hear. It's like John says in his letter of 1 John, it's something that we tasted and touched and saw. And we come to hear the word. But we also come to receive the word and to taste and see that the Lord is good, because the eternal word, the man Jesus Christ, is in our midst. But that word, that man, comes to a particular mountain. My question that I want to look at just this moment is in verse 3. It says, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. So I've just got a simple question. Where is that mountain? It's been debated for years. We see it debated in John 4, between where we got our name from, the woman at the well. Where is the mountain? Now, the mountain here is a metonymy, which is a figure of speech where a code word is used for a larger understanding. So, like if I say, if we were working in a plant and I said, guys, tighten up, the suits are here. You know what I'm saying. I'm not talking about material. I'm using that to refer to the boss man or the authority. Well, the mountain of the Lord is used that way in Scripture to speak of the place of authority, to speak of the place where we look to get our marching orders. Where is that place? I would suggest to you that not only was it asked in the New Testament, I would say that most of our issues in life, in faith, in culture, is where is the authority? Where do we look to get our marching orders? Who rules in our life? There's a story about the Pope. He got a phone call, and the phone call said, this is St. Peter, the first Pope. Am I speaking to the current Pope? And the Pope said, yes, sir, you are St. Peter. And St. Peter said, I have good news and bad news. And the Pope said, well, what's the good news? And St. Peter said, Jesus Christ has returned. And the Pope thought, that's wonderful. What's the bad news? He said, I'm calling from Salt Lake City. And the center of the Church of Latter-day Saints. Never mind. Where do we look for our authority? Where is the mountain of the Lord in your life? Who pulls your chain? Who jerks your rope? Who has the ultimate authority? Let me give you some places that I think the mountain of the Lord, the house of God, the place of authority, is not. It's not Jerusalem of old. We see that in Scripture. Jesus is very clear, I'll destroy this temple. And Jerusalem itself was destroyed in 70 AD. That place of authority is not the current nation of Israel. It's not some future literal kingdom that will be established. Against those that might believe in Islam, that mountain of God is not Mecca. It's not Rome. It's not Salt Lake City. It's not Nashville. It's not Cleveland. It's not New York City. I think I've mentioned all the denominational heads, the locations. But let me give you some other places where the authority doesn't lie. The mountain of God is not Wall Street. The mountain of God is not Hollywood. The mountain of God, and I should get a good hearty amen on this, the mountain of God is not D.C. It's also not Harvard. It's also not medical experts. No insult to the medical people in our. That's not your seat of authority. It's not Dr. Phil or Ms. Oprah. It's not your mother-in-law. We are told, and you can put anything else there other than the one place where the mountain of the Lord, the house of God, is found. And that's the place where the final word of God, Hebrews 1 calls it, is listened to, consumed, and adored. That's where our authority is. In the Word, in Jesus Christ Himself. The mountain of God's authority is where the children of God gather to hear the Word of God, worshiping and receiving the Son of God. In other words, it's a church. Charles Spurgeon was a Baptist preacher in England in the 19th century, and he was just a wonderful wordsmith, sometimes wordy, but a very good wordsmith. And when he spoke of the church in the latter half of the 19th century, he made reference to the church being something that was quite popular in the 19th century, and that was a rendezvous. A rendezvous. Have you seen Western movies? And you've probably seen that they use that French word rendezvous, which I think I'm told by those that know French is simply a gathering place. They used a rendezvous to be an official term where fur trappers, beginning in the early part of the 19th century, fur trappers and traders would come together from the four corners of the world, basically for specific purposes, to do business, to gather. And Spurgeon jumped on that and said that the mountain of God, the church, is the rendezvous, where we come together for some specific purposes. Let me tell you what those specific purposes are we see in Isaiah. We come, and I use a phrase from a great theologian, Gerd A. Ferdy, and he called it that it's all about delivering the goods. They gather to deliver the goods. It's similar to that commercial many years ago where that sweet little blue-haired lady walked up to the clerk at Wendy's thinking that she had been cheated, thinking that she didn't get what she expected, and what did she say? Where's the beef? See, the one place where you're never going to say, where's the beef, if we understand it properly, is in that rendezvous of the people of God gathering in the Spirit of God to hear the Word of God and worship the Son of God. You will never not get the goods. He's promised to be here. And I take a great deal of comfort is the fact that you will always get the beef doesn't have anything to do with the quality of the sermon that you hear delivered. Well, pastors should do their best to present good sermons, but I take a great deal of comfort in knowing that the power is not in my words. I take a great deal of comfort in knowing that the inspiration is not in how well we do our music. I take a great deal of comfort in knowing that God only meets us if we reach a certain holiness level of those that sit in the pew. See, the reason we come knowing that the goods will be delivered is Jesus Christ Himself promised that you gather in My name to hear My word, and I will be there in your midst. You'll get the goods. Now, they're not, please don't hear me. You don't come to church. We don't come to church to get more smart. I guess that's not the right way to put it. Theologically. We don't come so that we can become better able to have proper and well-documented and precisely written theologies. That's all important. Good. Anyone that knows me knows that I don't demean that at all. I've lived my life seeking to be accurate and careful in theology. But that's not why we come to worship. We come to worship to meet Jesus Christ, the eternal Word of God. Leslie Newbegin said, when the message of the kingdom, when the message of theology is divorced from the person of Jesus Christ, it becomes a program or an ideology. It may be a wonderful doctrinal statement, but it is not the gospel. Brothers and sisters, we come to have the goods delivered to us, and the goods is Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus Christ. We come to receive the real Jesus, whom we touch, taste, and heard. But we not only come to deliver the goods, we come to encourage one another. As fur trappers learned, it gets mighty lonely out in the wilderness. I needed to come to church this morning. I didn't feel like coming to church. I would have liked to have just laid around, and well, I couldn't because it's my job. But I just would have liked to have bummed around today. But my soul needed to come to church. I needed you. And I hope you come needing us. I made a terrible mistake many years ago. The reasons are not that important. But my father happened to die on an early Sunday morning. And I needed to come to church. And for reasons that aren't material, I didn't. And I missed the opportunity of showing up where I needed most to be on the time that I needed the most. We, as one commentator says, we swim from week to week to this island of healing that we call Word and Sacrament. And some weeks it's almost like, Lord, if I can just get there. And then we'll have enough for the following week. But we need to gather. And brothers and sisters, that's a sad tragedy of the pandemic. And I think we'll see decades before we know all the implications. We've already heard of people that have tragically taken their life over loneliness and different things that came about with the pandemic. It is true, and you've heard it, the church is not a building. But it's not true to simply say that the church is people, are people. That's not biblically correct. You sitting at home is not church. No, I'm being very kind. If you can't come, that's one thing. Or if you choose to go fishing, this is grace, this is not law. But the truth of the matter is, the church is not people. It's people called out and gathered together. It's us coming together in rendezvous because we need each other. We need each other's love. And Scott Peck said, and I think it's the best definition of agape or agape love, it's just pushing the one you say you love to deeper and further spiritual growth. It's helping the one you love love Christ more. Haven't you been encouraged by people that have told you something that you already knew? You just needed to be reminded. And we come to remind each other that all is well, for the Word is in our midst. And that leads to what Isaiah says in verse 4. He will judge between the nation, and he shall decide disputes for many peoples, and they will beat their plows, swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, and there won't be war anymore. We come to remind each other that no matter how bad life is right now, justice and peace will prevail. We come to remind each other that we have no need for fear. We have no need for confusion. We have no need for despair. We come to be reminded to look up. Our redemption draws near. And no matter how poor or in a deficit position you feel your life is right now, that's not the truth. The truth is, Jesus Christ, his reign of peace and justice will prevail. And then the final thing he says in verse 5, we come together. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the life of the Lord. We come, basically, and we've done this with, our church has done this with three families this week. We just come to help each other walk home. That's basically what we're doing. We help each of us walk home. Two images I'll leave from. One is a minister, cab driver that sort of bounced around from pastoring to different jobs. Then he wrote a book and made a fortune. His name is Robert Fulton. And the book is called All I Ever Really Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. And drawing on his training from understanding the gospel, he said, you know what? It comes down to what your mom and dad taught you as children. When you're crossing a busy street, look both ways. Take each other's hands and walk across the street. Well, we come together, brothers and sisters, to hear the word, to look both ways, to take each other by the hand and just walk home. And the other picture, far better than Fulgham, for our Savior gave this picture, is a prodigal son coming home to the Father. We know the Father will give a gracious welcome. But sometimes we just need someone to encourage us on the way home. Thank you for gathering with me to receive the Word of God and for encouraging me. May we encourage one another. Amen.
Amen.
Let us stand and confess our faith together. The rock upon which we stand. Through the words of the Apostles' Creed, we confess together, brothers and sisters. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
If you join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Covenant God, in the beginning you called your creation good and flooded it with beauty and bounty, with goodness and grace. In the days of Noah you drowned your creation to wash away sin and draw your own sons and daughters to yourself. Through your covenant with Israel, your promises flowed to all nations. And in Jesus Christ, you drew us out of our waywardness into the relentless flood of your mercy. His death was the drowning of our sin. His resurrection and ascension bless all nations.
to stream towards you in glory, and so we praise you with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven as we join their unending hymn. Holy,
holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Peacemaking God in Christ, you made an ending of the life of spears and swords and came to us with plowshares and pruning hooks, the tools of planting and cultivating, that we may be fed. In him you showed us how to study war no more, how to lay down our swords and shields, and how to feast with the Prince of Peace. As you came to us to be our very food and drink, send your Holy Spirit upon this bread and upon this cup, that they may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and again he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again."
God of prophets and promises, as you turn swords into plowshares, take our sin and reshape us for salvation. Take our foolishness and bend us toward faith. Take our hostility and refashion us for heaven into the crucible of your love. Stir your church with wakening hope that soon and very soon we are going to see our King. Quicken our spirits with trust in that day when we who have been blessed with such hope will gather around your throne with saints of every age in praise and thanksgiving to you, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I was asked by a family member of one of the funerals, it doesn't matter which one, this week. "What do you say," I was asked, "when you preach a funeral of someone who struggled so much to live according to the way of right and truth in their life?" I said, "I say the same thing I say at every funeral, because I've never ever preached any funeral except for someone who struggled to live that way." See, brothers and sisters, the joy that we take in life, and especially at that time of death, is our hope is not upon our merit, but like we sang in that opening hymn, it's upon the absolute and all-sufficient merit of Jesus Christ. It's in his merit that we find our salvation. It's through his gift and sacrifice we taste and see that only he is good. We're simply grateful. So we come to Eucharist to praise. So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in sincerity and truth to come and to receive the very body and very blood that he offers to us. He is our Passover lamb. Let us keep the feast.
Broken for you, and the blood of Christ is shed for you.
thank you for having fed us abundantly and overflowing with the altogether sufficiency of the coming Christ, who was and is and will be forever the eternal God, who with you and the Holy Spirit are one God, both now and forevermore. Amen. Let us stand and close our worship with a final hymn. Service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord. Thanks.